You're my lighthouse. Jay Carteray, the DIY musician.
This is Music Ahead, I am Jim Bullitt, and today's guest is Mr. Jay Carteray, who's a London-based producer, rapper, singer, songwriter, director, and a visual artist. He started recording music at the age of 16, is that correct?
Well, I started recording at the age of 13, but I started getting serious around 16, so...
I see. And now you're 22, is that right?
21. Yeah.
Okay. You're pretty young. You're also a CEO of a video production company. Jay, welcome to Music Ahead.
Thanks for having me, man.
It's a pleasure. Let's talk about your early days. So you say on your YouTube channel that you've saved up for your first recording equipment by, and I'm quoting here, selling herb.
Yeah.
I was wondering if you can tell us a bit more about that time of your life.
Well, basically, what had happened is I think my mum opened up a savings account when I was like 11 or something. And then at the age of, I think it was like 15, she basically presented to me what was in the savings account. And it was about like £60 in there. So I was like, you know what, either I could take this £60 and spend it on something silly, or I can invest it into a different venture and, you know, multiply my money. So that's what I chose to do.
I love the way you put it, as a different venture.
Yeah, because that's how I viewed it. I just viewed it as like a business decision. Like, I didn't smoke or anything.
Yeah.
And I couldn't get a job at that age because no one was hiring like 15-year-olds. So that was the only way that I could see that, like, I could... yeah, get some finances, basically.
That's what Snoop Dogg said, right? You if you want to get rich, you can't smoke, but you have to sell it.
Yeah. But even like just selling, I don't think selling weed's like a great way to make money, because the money in it is terrible. Like, for the hours of work that you put in, like 24 hours, like, you might make like £200 profit a day. Like, I think it would be easier to just get a 9-to-5, like, because with a 9-to-5, you know you're getting paid a certain amount.
Yeah.
And you work a certain amount of hours, and then you have your rest and your time off, and you get do whatever you like. And
Like,
I think that's probably a more profitable way to make money.
Plus, you get the risk factor too.
Oh, yeah, of course, that as well.
All right. So then you've saved up for your first studio, right?
Yeah. I saved all the money that I got, and then... I think I was in college studying a business course, and then I was looking on Amazon about like looking for different kind of mics and stuff to just start recording and whatnot. And I came across what was it? I think it was Pro Tools Vocal Studio. It was about like £70, and you get a USB mic and like Pro Tools Essentials, which was terrible, by the way. Like, you can't even use any plugins or anything. But at the beginning of my career, I was like, you know what, this is what I'm gonna get. Let me just make the best of it, innit? So
that was all of your equipment for the beginning?
What do you mean?
Did you buy anything else, or just this vocal studio?
I think I got the Pro Tools Vocal Studio. I got a mic stand and a pop shield and some like £20 headphones, and I was good to go, and then I just jumped in it.
All right, so that was when you were 16.
Yeah.
So you also say on your website that you've learned how to record, how to mix, how to edit all by yourself.
Yeah.
So I was wondering if you can tell us why taking this approach, and was it not easier to just focus on one thing?
Yeah, definitely easier to just focus on one thing. But the reason that I taught myself how to do all these things is because I didn't want to have to rely on other people. Because prior to me learning how to like mix and record and do all that sort of stuff, I had to wait for other people to do that. And then, like, let's say I asked the producer to make me a beat. He said he's going to send it to me on Friday. Sometimes, like, I'd have to wait until like Wednesday or something for it to come through. And I just hated like leaving my fate in someone else's hands.
Absolutely.
So yeah, I just went on YouTube, like, searched for loads of tutorials and stuff to learn how to produce and mix and whatnot. And yeah, that really helped me out.
What was your drive? Because that's a lot of work.
Yeah. Well, like, at the beginning, my drive was to like make, like, be financially stable and make music at the same time. Like, I just felt, because I went to Glazemore, and do you know of Chipmunk?
Yeah, I know him.
Yeah, he went there, and when I saw him blow up, I was like, oh my God, like, I can do this, innit? Like, at the beginning, I think I started rapping because I was really good in English. So I thought, obviously, because I'm good in English, I must be a great lyricist, innit? So after, like, I realized that wasn't true. Like,
it takes practice.
Yeah. After a little bit of practice and whatnot, I just got into it. And then I really found the love of, like, getting better and just creating something from scratch and putting it out in the world and just being creative.
Yeah. So were you there on your own, or did you have any other people who wanted to create music along with yourself?
Well, yeah, I got a few friends that, like, produce or, like, rap a little bit here and there. But for the most part, it's basically been me by myself just pushing this music thing. Like, I got a business partner with my Cool Cut Films.
Yeah.
Who, like, he directs and films and whatnot, and I usually edit the videos. And I try to get him to focus on that, but in his spare time, he does write a few bars and whatnot.
Nice. So let's stay with music for a moment. We'll talk about your company in a bit.
Mm-hmm.
You're both a singer and a rapper, while most of the people I know do only one of the two.
Yeah.
Can you tell me how this influences your songwriting?
Well,
and how did you get into singing in the first place?
First of all, I wouldn't call myself a singer. Like, I don't think I sing well enough to say, yeah, I'm a singer yet. Like, I believe, first and foremost, I'm a rapper, then a producer, then a singer.
I
really enjoy singing and whatnot, but I don't feel that my skill level is there enough to, like, profess that, yeah, I'm a singer. But the reason that I started singing is basically I just wanted better hooks. Like, all the songs that I was listening to had singing hooks and they'd all melodic and stuff. And I didn't just...
Yeah, but they normally employ a different singer for that.
Yeah, but... Again, I didn't want to have to rely on someone else, because time I was sending over my music, asking people to, like, write hooks and put their verse on or whatnot, I'd have to wait, like, a very long amount of time. And then, like, by the time they got back to me, like, I'm on the next song. So I'm thinking, I need to find a way for me to do this myself.
Absolutely.
So basically, that was the reason I got into singing and stuff. But, like... doing it again and again and practicing, I think I've got much better than when I first started. Like, when I listen to my old stuff and I listen to me singing, like, it sounds awful, but I think I sound pretty all right now still.
Yeah, it sounds good, man. Sounds good.
Thanks.
Let's stay with songwriting for a moment.
Oh yeah, sorry, I didn't even, like, elaborate on that part. Yeah, well, basically, with singing songs, like, the songwriting, like, I read a lot of songwriting books and, like, try to look up on songwriting tutorials and stuff like that. And all those songwriting stuff, like, it applies to singing. It doesn't really apply to rapping and whatnot. So when it comes to, like, making a song, because I've got all this information going through my head, sometimes it makes it difficult for me to, like, just write a rap verse full of just, like, bars instead of having a focused song on a subject and doing stuff like that. So
yeah.
I guess it makes my songwriting more focused. I don't know if it makes it better or not, but yeah,
it makes it yours.
Yeah, there you go.
Certainly. So what's the whole process like from the idea to the final mix down of a recording?
It depends, but usually I'll start by making a beat, and then I'll make the beat, and then I'll write a couple verses. And then I'll either try get a couple lines that, like, say what I want to say in the chorus, or I'll just go into recording and freestyle the chorus. That's what I've been doing a lot of lately, just freestyling the chorus and then letting it become what it needs to become. But yeah, usually I start with the beat, then write the verses, then do all the mixing and stuff.
I see. I was thinking about, you know this movie 8 Mile by Eminem?
Yeah.
So... the movie pictures him as writing the lyrics on the bus, listening to the beat on his headphones.
Yeah.
Is that more or less what it's like?
Yeah, sometimes. But, like, recently, like, I haven't really... like, when I make a beat, I'll sit down and I'll try to write to it, and if it doesn't work, then I'll just move on and try and go and like make the next beat and then try and write to that. And then like a couple of weeks later, maybe I'll come back to the beat that I couldn't write to and see what happens. But a lot of the time I'll just be like just doing whatever, and I'll think of a really good line, and then I'll write it down in my notes on my iPhone, and then like eventually I'll have like 10 lines that are like awesome lines, and then I'll just have to like write around it and craft it into a song. But I don't know, like I don't usually just write to beats anymore. Like I used to just download loads of beats and try to write to them, but now I've been more like creating it from the ground up, so trying to focus the song and stuff like that.
Okay, so if you're working on a song, you just said that if something doesn't work or if you can't think of any ideas, you just move on to the next one. But what if a creative block persists? Do you get them at all?
I get loads of those. Like it's terrible. Like I didn't used to get it so frequently, but recently, like I've had to learn to just put the song to the side and come back to it later, because I used to like get really like, I don't know what the word, but really frustrated with the fact that I couldn't write the song, because I'd be really into it, being like, I need to get this song done. Like I just feel like I'm not getting anything done and stuff like that. So like, recently,
is that why you started reading books about songwriting?
Yeah, well, I did like read a couple books about songwriting prior to that, but it became even more important when I couldn't actually write. So when I usually get a songwriting block, I usually try to produce instead. That's why it's good to like dabble in both areas. So if you're not like, if you don't have the lyrics one day, you can work on the music instead.
Absolutely. So you can just switch to the other job.
Yeah. So you always feel like you're actively doing something and you're not just wasting time. But it is good to take a break now and then.
You know, when I make my music, when I write, when I produce, record, I think of myself as having split personalities. And sometimes I'm a guitarist, the other day I'm an engineer, a producer. So it's like getting out of your skin and kind of incorporate another one.
Definitely, you have to wear loads of hats these days to be like an independent musician.
Yeah, you do, you really do. How do you take a break?
I usually just play some PS4.
I saw your gaming tutorials.
Yeah. I post up some gameplay now and then, like just for the sake of it. I watch a couple series, like couple shows and stuff online, and yeah, that's basically what I do to take a break.
Okay. Jay, I was thinking, can you tell us a bit more about your company, and while we're at it, about music videos at all? I read your article on Music Think Tank where you said that artists these days need music videos more than ever.
Yeah, definitely, because especially in the genre that I'm working in, like rap, I just see loads of artists just putting out videos every week and like frequent visuals and stuff like that. And I believe like in the culture that we're in, like me myself, I'm more likely to watch a video of a new artist that I don't know than to listen to a song without a visual, because I just think it's more compelling and more interesting and just more creative overall. So I think videos are a great like form of marketing to get people to listen to your music for the first time, especially if you're really creative with it and imaginative and make it like a good video.
Yeah, human species are very visual based, right?
Mm.
So that draws us. So what about your company? So did you start it just for the sole purpose of recording your own videos?
Well, like I didn't start it for the sole purpose of recording my videos, but that's basically what the focus is. Like I try to like branch out and record other people's videos here and there, but I don't really chase it at the moment because I'm more focusing on what I'm trying to do with my career. So
gotcha.
Yeah, I am willing to film other people's videos if they approach me, definitely.
Okay. Let's move on to the recording. You just told us about your first recording equipment, and how is it different now?
Well, I got a better mic. I think I got the Rode NX something, I don't even know what it's called, but I've got a better mic. It's not a USB mic anymore.
So you're using an audio interface?
Yeah. I've got an audio interface as well. I forgot what mine was called. I think it's a Presonus.
How's the difference in quality?
I don't know, to be honest, because with my USB mic, I was doing pretty well with that. Like, when I learned how to engineer and stuff like that, I didn't think it sounded bad at all. Like, my last mixtape, Caesar Augustus, was made on a USB mic, so...
Yeah, that sounded all right. I like that record.
Thanks, man. I don't think that the mic really matters. It's all about the engineering, so you need to know what you're doing. But... I don't know, maybe it sounds kind of warmer, because I feel that my recent tracks have sounded warmer, but that might be the program that I'm using now, because I'm using Logic. Before I was using Cubase.
Oh, I see.
And I've like learnt different techniques and whatnot, so I'm not sure if the techniques that I've learnt have evolved my music or the actual equipment. But
well, that could be even the preamps on your Presonus.
Yeah, it could be that as well. But yeah, I got a new mic. I think I've still got... Nah, I got a new mic stand because my other one broke. I got a new Pop Shield because that came with a mic. I got a new headphones because my other one broke. And I got new studio speakers to mix down everything like much better. And a couple MIDI keyboards.
Oh, MIDI keyboards. So would you say that a MIDI keyboard is one of your above the essentials but still worth having pieces of gear?
Yeah, definitely, because like I wouldn't say it's an essential thing that you need to go out and get a MIDI keyboard, but it does make the creative process much more fluid, because when you're like painting it into like Logic or whatever, it's not as freeing as when you're like actually playing it on the keys. You can experiment a lot more freely and just find your way about what you want to do like a lot more easily on the MIDI keyboard. So I definitely suggest that to anyone.
Yeah, before I purchased my MIDI keyboard, I used to just draw lines with this little pencil tool. I hated
it
that. Just,
it makes everything so technical and robotic. You don't actually feel like you're creating music.
Yeah, exactly, man. It's much more musical to do with a MIDI keyboard.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, Jay, we are Music Ahead, all about the big shift of the recording industry, where you can observe music creation moving from the high-end commercial studios and record labels to people creating and releasing music in their homes. What is your take on this?
I think that's been occurring for a while now. Like, the DIY musician is more prominent like now than it's ever been. But I think like the movement from traditional recording studios to home studios has like it's been happening since like years back. I think Big Sean just like released his new album. He said that he built a studio in his own home, and he felt more comfortable recording like in his own personal space. And I definitely feel that that's the case, because when like I was younger and it used to be like £15 to go to a studio and stuff, like you'd have to make your money worth it. So you'd have so much pressure on you to get the verses and stuff right, instead of be creative and make it the best that it can be.
Yeah.
So when you're in your own space, you can be much more free and creative with the music that you're creating than when you're going to a studio and you got loads of like people looking at you and you're paying for the time. So, and it's just economically better for the artist if you build your own studio than to go to someone else's.
Absolutely, because then you have to pay every time.
Yeah.
Do you know Jack White? He's a guitarist, and he says that he prefers the big studio thing.
Is it?
Because, yeah, back then you had to rehearse and rehearse and rehearse and really, really get prepared for the recording. And these days, people just get, you know, lazy about it and do whatever happens in their home studios.
I can understand where he's coming from, because I've heard loads of lazy songs like that just sound like this wouldn't have happened if you had to actually pay the money to do it. Like, there's loads of songs of people just saying whatever on the song, but that's what being creative is about. You should be able to say whatever you want to say and just free your expression. So I can't say that Like, I don't look down on people making crappy songs. I just don't listen to it. Like, it's just not for me.
Yeah. But and you have to start somewhere, right?
Yeah, but I think the advent of the home recording studio has made it much more accessible for people with like lower incomes to become musicians.
Yeah.
So it's definitely a good thing in my eyes anyways.
Yeah, and that's great. And also, I see more and more songwriters. I don't know if you've noticed that, but I see an increasing amount of my friends just started writing a song.
Yeah, it's good.
Jay, what are your plans for this year? Any new releases?
I should have 2 releases coming out this year, actually.
Nice.
I got my dance EP, which should be coming out in May, I think. And I should have a rap project coming out in about July. But that's subject to change. It depends on my recording process. So I'll release dates out soon.
Okay. I was actually checking out your stuff, and you seem to be moving towards dance music recently.
Well, last year, like, when I started uni, basically everyone in my class was listening to house, yeah? So, before that, I had hated house. I despised it. I was like, you know what? House is terrible. I'm not dealing with that. And then everyone was like, yeah, we love house, blah, blah, blah. So I was like, you know what? Let me give it a chance, innit? So I came home. I think I searched for like some house or whatever. And I started listening to Avicii and like Calvin Harris and stuff like that. And then I went to my uni friends and they was like, this isn't house, this is dance. And I was like, you know what? Forget house then. I like this. So I went full force into the dance and started making that because I enjoyed doing it for that time. But yeah, that was last year. Like this year, I'm focused on the rap stuff. So I might try to meld the two a little bit. But for now, I'm actively working on rap. I don't know if I'll go back to dance or if I'll make another dance project after this one. So yeah, you guys should definitely grab the dance project while it's there.
See what happens. How can we reach you?
You can reach me on Twitter at jcarteray, Facebook jcarteray, everything's jcarteray, Instagram's that. I got AskFM at jcarteray where people can ask me questions.
Yeah,
because I do a Q&A.
I'll post the links under the video.
Yeah, yeah.
So the people who want to reach out will see the links. Jay, Music Ahead came into being to inspire people to move ahead with their music. What do you say to a kid who wants to start their own journey with music and become like Jay Cartray in a few years' time?
Just start making songs, man. Start making music. That's the first step. Like, I would say, like, search for YouTube, scour all the tutorials on how to like produce and engineer and stuff like that, and like just really take it in. Be like a sponge, take in all the information, and then go and try and make your own stuff and just release it. Get people's opinions and move from there.
Yeah, getting people's opinions is actually a very great point, I reckon, because many people who make music are just too scared, too shy to show it to anybody. And I appreciate that you mentioned that.
You have to believe in it, because if you don't believe in it, no one else will. So if you don't believe in your music, then maybe you shouldn't be putting it out. Maybe you need to work on it a little bit longer and get it to the place where you think, yeah, this is good to put out.
Absolutely. Jay, I tell each of our guests that Music Ahead wants to inspire people, but we also want to give them some practical tips. You've released some lessons already on your YouTube channel, but would you consider taping one exclusively for Music Ahead?
Yeah, def.
It can be anything that will help people out there make better music at home.
Yeah, definitely, man.
Yeah?
If you like, send me over an idea or something and I'll see if I can do it, and then, yeah, we can get that done.
All right, I will. Excellent, I'm glad to hear that. So, Jay, thank you so much for being with us. Guys, make sure you check out this young gentleman. Once again, I'm Jim Bullet for Music Ahead, and my guest today was Mr. Jay Cartray. Thank you, Jay.
Thanks for having me, man.
All right.
You got me almost drowned, talking about relationships. You know niggas can't swim, but that shit
don't scare me.
Ever start talking crazy?
Don't scare me.
I'm ready to go, put your life belt on and get in the boat. Let's put on the show, we've been friends for a minute. Was a good time and we both benefited. Now we're like 2 peas in a pod, let's reason with God. Hope all good things don't finish. Pray we don't fall, pray to the fishes. What they say don't change your image. My eyes, my sight is sublime as you shine bright in the sea.